Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. Today I talk to Lindsay Barker, who is one of the organizers of Congi, which is a name you probably haven't heard in a while. You see, from 2009 to 2014, a group of University of Guelph students who were fans of gaming, comics, anime, and other geeky things organized a yearly winter convention designed to bring people together and share their passions. This wasn't some Comic-Con style event with celebrity guests and corporate announcements. It was a capital F fan event where you could play your favorite games, watch your favorite cartoons, and share tips on cosplay and prop building. It was perfect in its way, but all good things must come to an end. But sometimes they come back, and they come back at the most surprising times. The return of a legend is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. Sometime around Christmas, I was scrolling around on Facebook to kill time, and I found something I did not expect to find. It was a familiar-looking cartoon dragon and a promise, from deep within the darkness, something stirs. Then I looked who posted it, and it was confirmed. Congi was coming back, 7 years after it ended, in the middle of a pandemic. A few years ago, we had game designer and media producer Tom Gofton on the podcast, and he talked about the convention he was working on, which was called GenreCon. It was not the first time that someone tried to launch a fan event in Guelph, but it was another sign that Guelph had somehow gotten even nerdier in the years since Congi took what was supposed to be its final bow. Before the pandemic, Guelph was supporting 2 board game cafes, a video game parlor, and even the Dragon was franchising, but 10 years ago, Congi stuck out like a sore thumb, and the people loved it. Insomuch as the demise of Congi had to do with the core group of then-former U of G students growing apart and moving on to adult demands like careers and families, it was also a victim of its own success. There was no venue in Guelph big enough for the size of the event that Congi had become, so the organizers took the money they had made and donated it to the Guelph Food Bank and called it a day. They moved on. But in the shadow of the pandemic, there was opportunity. Could you run a con where size was only limited by your audience's bandwidth? Could you capture the fun, creativity, and camaraderie of an in-person convention while running it all online? Lindsay Barker will answer those questions and more since she is the guest on this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast. Barker will recap the history of Congi, why it ended, and why the pandemic provided the perfect opportunity to bring it back. Barker will also talk about how she and her fellow organizers, all Congi originals by the way, are adapting their favorite events for an online audience, the technical and organizational challenges of a virtual convention, and all the unexpected challenges they've encountered along the way. And finally, we will discuss the growing geekiness of Guelph, how she will judge the success of this event, and what might happen if Congi is once again a victim of its own success. So I caught up with Lindsay Barker a couple of weeks ago via Zoom. So Lindsay Barker, thank you so much for joining me tonight. We are recording at night, so just so the listeners will get that later. First of all, you are one of the originators of Congi, and a lot of the people you're working with for this virtual Congi were also amongst the OG Congi folks.
Pretty much everyone but 2 staff are back.
Well, there you go. I am curious, perhaps you can fill in the blanks for me and for anyone who's listening and curious, that, you know, 2014, that was the last official go-round for Congi. Yes. What happened? Because it was a very successful little con that was happening every year.
It's sort of like there's no one answer. There's no one really good answer. It was essentially because we started Congi back in 2009 and we sort of just did it to see if we could more than anything. And at the end of the weekend, we had our cake panel where we served cake, and we're like, so what do you guys want to see next year? And I think that's when it dawned on us that we were going to be continuing to do it. And we're like, oh, we made a thing and people liked it. Yay. Oh, we have to keep doing it. So we didn't really have a lot of long-term goals of where we wanted to do or B, whatnot. So when we were at the Delta last year, we had 1,600 people. When we had like a projection about roughly how much we would grow each year. And we're like, next year we will go over fire code. And the Delta is the largest hotel in Guelph. And we didn't really want to move outside of Guelph. And then also coming to the fact that we were sort of, all of the staff members had graduated from university and were out for a couple years. So we were sort of starting to pick up like the family life side. And it's really, and a lot of us had moved locations. Like actually right now, none of us live in Guelph. I'm probably the closest one to Guelph and I'm about half an hour away in Acton. So it was just sort of a, we wanted to end it on a high note versus giving it to someone else that it maybe would just not shine as well and go into the dust. So, and also what that allowed us to do is we were allowed, able to take the money that we had made at the end of Congee 2014 and donate it to good causes. We donated $2,500 to the Guelph Library and $2,500 to the Guelph Humane Society. So that was, we felt really good about that. And we said, you know, like we still own Congee Entertainment. We're like, if we ever decide to do anything else with it, we have that there, which is what brings us to this year.
It's interesting to phrase it in a way that like you were basically ruined by your own success, that it just kind of got so big, it got away from you.
It got away from us. And it was one of those things that it was such a labor of love that we didn't want it to become something we didn't want to do. And we just really, we weren't quite sure how to deal with doing that, starting families, doing all this, like buying houses, whatnot, getting more job requirements and stuff like that, and do the volunteer stuff. And it was just like, it was a really hard balance. And we have a very, well, I shouldn't say have, we had a very small staff for the size of convention that we had. I think we were only 9 staff, which is a lot, is not very much for how much stuff we actually did. But we're all, and I still say are, because we're all pretty good friends still. We just work very well together as a team. So that's why we're able to get away with a lot of the stuff that would have maybe taken twice or three times as many people. Like Christian Sandrock was in charge of our tech stuff, and he probably did the work of like 5 other tech guys. So, you know, and like Caitlin Nell Williams, she was in charge of like any sort of insurance stuff or any website stuff or all sorts of things that she had learned doing business stuff before. So she was able to do all that all at once. And our, you know, our treasurer lived in Calgary, Terry Smith. So it was like, it was all sorts of all over the place. And like, I did a lot of the content creation, like things that we decided to run. And then I just would like, okay, I have an idea. How do we make this idea work? So that's why we worked really well as a team and why we still kind of do.
And you literally, you're the one who kind of literally put the stamp on the con, because the dragon logo is your creation, is it not?
Yes. Yeah. Con is my creation.
So we fast forward, we're in the middle of a global pandemic and you guys were all like, let's bring it back.
So it's one of those, it's a funny story. So I was cleaning in my house because that's what you do in a pandemic. You can't go anywhere else. And I came across our box of stuff that we had left over from Congee, because I didn't want to, some of the stuff I couldn't get rid of. Like I have all of the old badges from all the leftover badges from the last 2 years. Cause I was like, oh, I might be able to do something with this. And I had like leftover glasses that we had our guests. We had leftover masquerade ribbons. We had leftover our Japanese game show and Godzilla Smash. Like I still have those sitting in my garage. And I was like, oh man, I have all these pretty ribbons. And we had, you know, a fair number of ribbons. And I was like, man, I wish we could do something with these. And I was sort of like, wait, could we run an online masquerade? because everyone's stuck in their homes or relative. We can't go anywhere. No other convention's really done anything like this so far. And I was like, well, I mean, like, it wouldn't be that hard to do, I think. So then I was chatting with, you know, some of my other friends, and I was like, could we do this? And everyone's like, that sounds amazing. We should do it. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And so I was playing around with Twitch, which is where we're streaming our masquerade. And I was like, oh, it's actually really easy to stream conversations, like a Zoom chat or a Google chat. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. We could do panels. And I was like, oh. So it just sort of like every time something gets added to what we're doing, it's because in the process of trying to figure out how to do one thing, we figured out that we can do something else. So like we're doing a Saturday morning cartoon stream and we're doing it through our Discord. So we're going to have the Discord audio going. And then we're doing like using Chrome with the Chrome extension, which is watch YouTube with your friends. And we're going to find cartoons clips on YouTube and stuff like that and watch them together. So it's going to be like in a showing room at a anime convention or an anime club where most of the people are talking and we're all joking around or whatever, but there's a mute button. So that that can be beneficial if you actually want to watch the thing that we're watching.
Yeah, there's no crowd.
Yeah. And then the other thing we're like, well, we should try to do this as a fundraiser. So we were trying to, you know, brainstorm some ideas of what we could do because we're like, well, the Guelph Library and the Guelph Humane Society aren't really, they're important causes, but right now they're not as important, we felt, which is why we decided to go with the Guelph Food Bank. And Guelph Food Bank versus the Ontario Food Banks, we're like, we're probably not going to have that big of a donation. So we want it to go more helpful for one city. And because we all came from Guelph, that's how we sort of felt about that. And then we're like, well, dealers and artists, I mean, they're screwed by the pandemic too, not being able to go to conventions. So we're like, well, why don't we offer up free advertising space essentially for dealers and artists? So we have that too. And then we're like, if you, you know, make some money or whatever, you can donate some of it back to us and we'll do a big donation to the Guelph Food Bank at the end of the thing. So.
And the events are free. So how are you raising money that, or how are you raising that money?
So we're doing it, everything is free, but if people enjoy or want to donate, they can donate.
The old pay what you can model.
Pay what you can model. Because that's, I mean, really the point of bringing Kanji back for something like this is to try to offer, you know, something good. And sometimes people need to look forward to something. Like I'm one of those people that needs to have a goal or look forward to something that I'm excited about. And it's been very hard the past year about really everything's so up in the air where it's like, well, no, we're not up in the air. We know exactly what we're doing. This is the schedule for this week. This is what we're doing.
Especially in the atmosphere of something like a con, right? Because, and I know you know this, but for people listening who may not, you know, there are friends and people you become acquainted with when you are on the con circuit and you run into each other at a couple of cons a year, however many you can afford to go to if there's none readily available in your area. And, you know, that's something that, as you said, you do look forward to because you don't, there aren't many circumstances by which you sort of see these people. The con is kind of where you get together. And that little social circle has been disrupted. I mean, in a much more serious way than some of our more permanent friendships and family connections, like people who live in our town and things who we can at least, you know, sit in the driveway and sit socially distance away. You can't do that when there's no travel.
Yeah, exactly. So we're sort of like, well, how do we try to get some of those people back together again in some way that they can, that's easy to find? Because like there are a bunch of Discord servers, there's a bunch of Facebook groups and stuff like that, but it's harder to advertise that versus a con where there's events that will hopefully bring people in and bring people together to do certain things.
And I mean, I remember the going to the physical Kanji, you know, years ago, And there was certainly that camaraderie there. This is one of those cons. I mean, there are like the big cons, like Comic-Con or Fan Expo, that are also kind of these business endeavors.
Yeah.
But then there's like the smaller, friendlier cons like Con-G, where people are going there for the camaraderie and for sharing the love of whatever they love.
Yeah.
And Con-G was definitely one of those. I'm curious what kind of reaction you got, because I remember I was sort of flipping through Facebook one day around the holidays, and I saw that ad come up from the Con-G page saying it, like the little wink, it's like coming soon, wink wink.
Oh yeah. Oh, something stirs within the darkness. Yeah,
that's right. Because I was like, oh, like they're not bringing it back, are they?
So we had sort of said, okay, we're going to do this masquerade and we'll do a couple panels, and that's what's going to be our plan. And we were going to announce earlier, but we were trying to get our website back, the original.com, which is a funny story. I'll come back to, but anyway, we kept not getting it. We're like, okay, well, we can't launch this without a website. So we just happen to still own the .ca. So we're like, okay, we're going to dump the backup copy from the .com onto the .ca. So at least we have something. And then we'll start teasing. And Caitlin Williams was the one that came up with this, something out of the darkness. She put that on the website. I was like, that's amazing. I need to steal that. So then we put it with the Con Eye and Shadow. The reactions that we got, like a bunch of people were like, I mean, the GIFs and memes that we were getting from it was hilarious. And a bunch of people were messing with me. They're like, okay, so what does this mean? What does this mean? What's going on? So when we were saying like, this is what we're doing, they're like, oh, this is amazing. And like, when we reached out to some of our dealers from the last couple of years that we ran Con-G, I said, just so you know, we're running a virtual dealer's room. If you'd be interested in like, essentially give us a logo, give us some links to your website and we'll put it up. And a bunch of them were like, we're so happy to see you back. We missed you. I had one person message me saying that like your convention was the reason we got into cons and stuff like that. So it's been very, very heartwarming, actually.
I'm glad. And I mean, you, as you said, you live in Acton now, so I'm not sure how often you make it into Guelph, but you know, I'm still here. It occurs to me that, you know, Guelph is kind of even a more geekier place now. We have like two different board game cafes. Like the Dragon is now a chain of retailers. It seems that, I mean, there's been a widespread expansion of sort of geek culture and nerd culture and things like that. But, you know, I wonder how you feel just from like maybe a putting on your business hat, if you felt, you know, that timing works too, that, you know, there's an even bigger audience that will tap into something like this now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like that's part of the, you know, like when we were in Con-G first time, we're like, we have no idea how many people are going to come through that front door. Like in university, we were all of my staff minus one were members of the Flash Club. Picture anime, sci-fi, and horror group in Guelph, and that's how we all met. So geekiness was always part of Guelph for us because we had that experience at the university. So we're like, well, enough people belong to that club to run this tiny little convention across the street. So we were sort of not overwhelmed but shocked just how many people showed up that first year. We're like, this is awesome, and we need to go print more registration forms. And I knew it was always there. Now, it definitely has gotten more mainstream and more acceptable mainstream too, I think. We don't know how many people are going to show up. That's sort of the fun thing about doing something new like this. We don't really have an idea.
But I mean, you have some reasonable certainty. I mean, given that, number one, the brand, you know, the con, there is a kind of Con-G brand to fans of a certain age in this area. And two, you basically have a captive audience, because what else do people have planned for that weekend?
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, and we thought, well, maybe, you know, it'll be fun. Like, you can meet other people, and we have branched out to not just Ontario cosplayers, but like our costume contest is open to all of Canada. And same with our dealers and our artist alley. We're like, as long as you're Canadian, that's what we're focusing on. So it's been sort of it's been kind of fun because, like I said, one of our staff members lives in Calgary. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, I can tell my friends out in Calgary about this con that they can actually come to now.
I wonder if you are thinking about what happens the day after the con is over to an extent, because you're saying, like, we're putting this out there, we're not sure what'll happen. That was kind of how the original Kanji started.
Yes. So we put it out in the world and we see what the reaction is. And it's sort of one of those ones that if it's a positive reaction, we've all sort of decided that we will continue this going on. If it's mm-hmm. not the reaction that we wanted, we're not really overly upset that by that, just because it's uncharted territory. Like, we don't know what this is going to be like, because mm-hmm. a lot of the other virtual stuff that has gone has been sort of more industry based, like panels with professionals, but like, you know, movie stars and actors and stuff like that, and Q&A's and stuff like that, whereas not necessarily the fan side, at least in Ontario that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm. And that's true too. There have been like virtual Comic-Con events and like things like DC Fandom, but yeah. I mean that's very, for the fans at home, that's kind of very static. Nobody's getting dressed up to watch James Wan and Jason Momoa talk about Aquaman.
Yeah, there's no interaction, and that was like the big thing. Even when Kanji was in person, we're like, we want people to come and actually do things at the con. We want people to experience it, because it's one thing to like go and sit and watch a bunch of stuff. It's another thing to go and actually do the things at the events.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's an unanswerable question at the moment, but I mean, how confident are you that you can kind of recreate that con experience at home? Because I mean, even for people who go to the big cons, that go through that struggle to go to San Diego and get the mm-hmm. tickets and get the hotel rooms, there's no experience like being there. And that's what people go there is for, like the experience of being there in person. And I mean, no matter how good the company, a virtual gathering is just not the same as the in-person one.
And I mean, like, we're not pretending to be, because you can't, like, walking in a hall full of people that you can randomly hug and like talk to is not the same as something online. We're just trying to do the best we can with what the situation gave us, which I think is very important mindset to have right now about everything, is that you don't really have an idea of what's going to happen going forward. So why don't we make the best of what we have right now?
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of the opposite of how a lot of people are treating the pandemic, where it's a race to get to the end, where it's, you know, it's a race to get back to normal. It's a very kind of zen attitude. And maybe
I would very much love to get back to normal. Don't I was like, I have two small children that would love to go back to school and be regular little kids again. And I would, you know, and I would like to go back to doing my regular stuff too, but it's sort of one of those ones, there's just not enough information out to really have a good handle on what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, you know, like, that was one of the things when we announced our virtual con, we had a couple of people say, well, it's not the same and I'm not going to support it because I don't want these to replace the convention. I was like, well, geez, golly, I hope this doesn't replace regular conventions. No, that's not the point. We're just trying to do something that we can do right now. And if it works online, maybe we can continue it online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't speak for the rest of my staff, whether or not this goes into, you know, being an in-person con years down the road. We just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, you've now have like sort of the advantage of organizing a virtual con sort of from the ground up again, even though you do have all these contacts and all these people you have organized stuff with before. But I mean, it is basically a new beast you are creating. At the same time, though, you do have experience organizing that in-person convention for years, like from one to the other to the other. Is the experience, I guess, what am I trying to say? I guess I'm trying to get at like the amount of work you're doing. Is it like comparable to like getting the physical con together? Like, are you working just as hard trying to put this together as you would a physical con?
I want to say like the last, I'll say two, last year of Kanji, because the whole, like, I mean, one of the tricky things with Kanji was that we moved every 2 years. So we sort of had to retrain the hotel every couple of years. So that was always a bit of a, there was a lot more work that had to be put into getting the hotel to understand what a convention was and what the people would be doing and all this sort of stuff. So the last year of Kanji, I mean, like in terms of like, we had our templates for all of our advertising stuff. We had all of our guest contacts and stuff like that. So it wasn't as hard compared to some other years, but it was hard because we were tired. And so now this time around, we're all tired because everyone's tired. No one's not tired. But some of the stuff that we're doing, it's like, oh, well, I can just grab, you know, some of the graphics that I already have. I can grab some of this that I already have. Well, this is how I advertised it last time online. Oh, all those things don't exist anymore. Okay, well, we'll try doing this. So, I mean, like some of the stuff that's taking a lot more time is just like, you know, like we're doing a crash course in how to use Discord. We're doing a crash course in how to use Twitch. We're doing a crash course in how to use Facebook a little bit more. Use it more effectively, and then get our Twitter and our Instagram and our Discord and our Twitch and our Facebook and our website to all talk to each other, and try to make it sort of cohesive, so it's not like you miss out on one thing if you're only on one platform or you don't have Discord or you don't have Facebook. We're trying to sort of do it so that you can get most of it just being on one or the other.
Because I imagine that is I'm not a youth by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, I can't imagine there's going to be a lot of people who have expertise on all of these platforms. That
I think you'd be surprised.
I would.
Instagram and Twitter are very basic, easy to use. Twitch. From the viewer side, it's easy because you don't have to log in to watch it. If you want to comment, you have to log in and make an account. Facebook, most people have Facebook. YouTube is the other one we're using. YouTube, again, you don't need to an account. You can just watch it. So, and our website. The big one is going to be Discord, because that's going to be... where we're going to be running a couple things through Discord. It's a neat program. Cause you can have different, chat rooms and stuff like that, that are either audio or text-based. I'm kind of excited to see how that goes. Cause, we are going to be doing, well, like I said, Saturday morning, cartoon show on Sunday morning. And we're going to have the Discord audio on with people watching cartoons that I've chosen.
You want to drop any hints or is it a surprise?
Oh, I can drop hints. I definitely know there will be an episode of Reboot because anyone who knows me knows that I love the original Reboot. And I'm sure I'll toss some Saturday morning anime they might be older school. We talked about maybe showing some of the Super Marionation stuff like Stingray or Thunderbirds, like the original ones, just because they're funny to watch. And that's really why you go to things like this, is that you see stuff that you never would have seen before or just have a laugh about it.
Mm-hmm. And stuff, some stuff just goes down better in a crowd. So I guess, you know, we've kind of swirled around it, but, you know, maybe to wrap up,
you know, and the fitness thing too. That's another one that we're doing.
Which one?
We're doing, we have a friend that is a personal fitness trainer. So he did like an exercise thing that you can do in your house. And the only equipment you need is a couch.
Oh,
because again, like we're sort of trying to promote healthy, happy, sort of like we can get through this. These are some of the things that we've done. Like, I know we're going to run a panel, things I learned in lockdown, which I'm sure will be funny. Angela Keeley's running it and she's a very funny person. So, but yeah, so we're just trying to look on the bright side of life. That's what Conju's always been about. Like, Conju's always about not taking anyone seriously and just having fun, a good time.
Mm-hmm. So launching onto off of that, then, I mean, come the Monday after, I mean, what do you hope you get out of it as one of the organizers, and what do you hope that the participants get out of it, in terms of, I guess, whatever they take part in? I mean, what will you feel good about on Monday morning?
That if we have people, good feedback. That's like with any of the congees that we ran before in the past, like, you know, you can have an idea of how the convention is going while you're walking around the convention, but you really don't have an idea of how people liked it or didn't like it until the day after, or even the week after, when people start putting up the reviews or hashtagging the pictures and stuff like that. So that'll be what we'll be looking forward to in terms of gauging the response and stuff like that. So, but really it's people had fun. Like, right. And you know, they had fun for all 3 days. They popped in on something all 3 days, or they only popped in for 1 hour panel because that's all they wanted to do. Doesn't matter to me. Doesn't matter to us, as long as they have fun at some point.
And that perhaps they are interested in doing more, as we're trying to leave it on a cliffhanger, that maybe the widespread reaction would be, yes, let's do this again in 2022.
Well, I'm very interested. Like, some of the things that we have set up, because we've never done them quite this way, like the panels and the masquerade and the showing rooms, like those are sort of, we know how they're going to be, but like, you know, we ran a murder mystery at Conju where we had clues hidden all around the actual hotel. Well, now we have clues hidden all around our websites. So people have to go through and look. And I don't know, because I'm not the one running it, Terry is, how hard some of these clues are going to be to find. I mean, they'll all be able to be found relatively easily. You just have to, like, go looking. So I'm curious to see feedback on that, or feedback on some of our crafts. Like, I'm going to be doing, just because I can't do it live because of everything else that's going on that weekend, I'm going to be doing how you do a freezer paper stencil on a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make your own geeky shirts if you can't find them, or geeky whatever you want. So it'll be interesting to see feedback on some of the stuff that we could really only do online. So yeah, I'm excited. I there's no way everyone's really excited about it, to see what it ends up being like.
Well, Lindsay Barker, I'm glad to see the enthusiasm, and I'm looking forward to seeing what people think, and maybe we'll have to talk again before the next virtual congee, but we'll see how it goes. And as for that, I'll let you get back to it, and thank you so much for your time tonight.
You're very welcome.
And once again, that was Lindsay Barker. You can find all the details about Conju, which takes place at your home this weekend from February 19 to 21, at the website con-g.ca. That is con-g.ca. You can also find it through its various social media channels on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitch.
And that is it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The Guelph Politicast is usually recorded at CFRU at the University Center on the University of Guelph campus. And to learn more about CFRU, go to cfru.ca. You can download the Guelph Politicast on Wednesday from Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Or you can download it from the host at Podbean at guelphpoliticast.podbean.com. And when you subscribe to the Guelph Politicast channel, you'll get an episode of Open Sources Guelph on Mondays and an episode of End Credits on Fridays. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson or at Guelph Politico. You can also find Guelph Politico on Facebook at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And if you'd like to help build a locally sourced independent media outlet in the city of Guelph, please consider donating to Guelph Politico, and you can find out how at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.ca, where we will have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you next week. And until then, see you next time.